My name is Zhaoying Summers. Don't worry about pronouncing Zhaoying. My iPhone auto-correct Zhaoying to annoying. People also ask me, why don't you have a Chinese last name? I had one before I got married. I was a hoe. Hi guys, what's up? I'm Zhaoying Summers. Welcome back to the Tiger MILF podcast. I am so excited to bring this guest to you guys. He is a comedy genius. I think he's my big brother, but I don't think he agreed to that yet, but we'll see. I love his comedy, and it's been such an honor to be on his shows at the Comedy Cellar. He's a national headliner, and he's just fabulous. Are you ready for the one and the only, the very funny and sexy Cypher Sound?
Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm sorry I'm late. I hate being late to a first date. You know what I'm saying? I'm very self-conscious about it. And I was traffic and parking is a mess. I'm sorry.
I saw that's the third date. I saw that's the third date.
Third date?
Yeah, the first date was at the cellar. Second date was at the cellar. That's the third date.
No, those weren't dates.
Oh.
Those weren't dates. Those were this.
Do you remember I fell from the stairs?
I do remember. It's not funny.
I'm showing you the scar.
You still have a scar?
Here, do you see this?
I do. I don't remember. I don't actually see you fall.
Can we zoom in on this? I fall.
I didn't see you fall, but I saw the after effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eleanor Kirigan, she was like, hi, Zhaoying. And I forgot the stairs. I literally just walked from, you have the little patio for the comedian.
Yeah, the balcony.
Balcony.
Area.
I just walked from the balcony like I'm Bruce Lee.
Right.
I fell down like a fucking pig. It was bad.
It's not funny, but it's. So you thought that was our first date?
I saw that was.
That was you doing the show. That's where we met.
Yeah, but I saw that you came to see me after I was injured. You said, just want to make sure you didn't die. And he walked away.
Yeah, I'm a caring person.
Yeah, you said, I just want to make sure you didn't die. Yeah. So you left. That sounds like my husband. So I just assumed that's a date.
Okay, I got it. from your past experience, dating experience in this country, that seemed like a date. Right, okay, I can see that.
Yeah,
that was a meet. That was a meet. And then another time, we had wings together.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, she can handle her bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you were like, I'm not letting a woman pay.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's what made it seem like a date.
Yeah. So it's like two dates. And this is a certain one. You can be late.
Wow.
But like,
Okay. Third date is sex, Third date is sex.
Sex is fine. I don't mind sex. Sex is like, I don't know.
You do sex, but you don't kiss. You don't kiss during sex.
I can't. I'm like really boring. I can't have sex if I'm not getting married because I catch feeling. Next thing you know, I want to buy you a condo.
Yeah, that feelings is fine.
Yeah, but it's inconvenient when you have to focus on your work and your children.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you gotta balance.
I got paranoid.
You got to balance.
I can't. I don't think I'm... I think I should spend more time learning how to love myself before I jump into another relationship. It sounds so LA and disgusting,
Boo.
But like it's probably
you
what
You need
I
a
should,
man to complete you.
To complete me.
Yeah, you ever saw the movie, You Complete Me? When they go like this, You Complete Me or something like that.
Yeah, but like, I feel like... I just get too invested when I'm dating a man, and I just feel like I'm adjusting into a new life right now because the divorce, and I need to get the situation right to meeting my children.
Right, look at Kanye, he's married already to some Australian chick.
Really?
Yeah, you got to go right. You got to jump right in. Okay.
That's what I've been doing, and it wasn't working. So I'm just decided
you did it with the wrong guys.
That looked like a coffin. Right? Baby coffin. Somebody bombs on stage, we just put them in here.
Like a 1970s baby coffin.
It's a baby coffin. Yeah. Somebody's dad dream is
like a toddler
here.
Coffin.
Yeah, somebody's dad dream is here. Yeah. Tell
so, Tiger MILF, what's up?
Tell me, Sefer, what's a typical week of a super successful comedian? in
you want me
New
to
York
tell you
fucking
about,
city. Yeah.
You want me to tell you about how when I watch super successful comedians?
No, you. Your life.
Oh, I'm not super successful.
Yes, you are.
No. No.
Our producer think you are amazing and he's a fan of yours. He knows who. He said you're a legend.
That. I'm a hardworking guy. So maybe it makes me look like I'm super successful, but I just try to get in where I fit in. So like, you know, I'm Mr. Name Dropper. That's what they call me. Mr. Name Dropper.
Yeah, but they're all your friends though.
Yeah. So I was hanging with Dave Chappelle this week. So that's a super successful comedian.
I just saw you said you are name dropping. You're just being like sweet about it, but like, you're just like bumming me with fucking.
I go right to the top. That guy, that's a super successful comedian where he was hanging out at the Comedy Cellar and he just walks in whatever he wants. Whatever show is happening, he's next. And he goes in, does his thing. But the thing is, he might do an hour. He might do 10 minutes. You don't know. And then he goes upstairs to the other room. Whoever, he's next. Goes to the other room, next. Goes around the corner, he's next. And then he's like, oh, let's go eat. You know, and he goes, eats at 1 and 2 in the morning. Delicious food. Oysters and clams.
Oh, yummy. Mm. Poutine.
But me, I'm like, you know, I'm lucky. I'm a very lucky, I'm hardworking, which leads me to be lucky. You know what I mean?
I think you deserve all your opportunities because you are so talented and nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm so mad I missed you at Zenny's. I have this, he's a fan of mine and he owns a Chinese restaurant, like a barbecue restaurant.
Where, in Chicago?
In Chicago, like Three Little Pigs. He catered. Like when
I catered your show?
Oh my God, yeah. First, I just landed to the hotel. He already there with five boba tea and the whole chicken, shrimp, barbecue, food, ooh, fried rice to my hotel room.
Yeah.
And then he catered the whole show for the whole staff at Zenny's.
That's awesome.
And he won't let me pay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I love my fans. Yeah, I have one
good,
of my
fans
got me a ruby diamond ring. She's a woman, a Chinese woman who's married. Her husband came to my show. Her name is Jennifer. She's an amazing jewelry designer. And wow. When I was in Philadelphia last night, one of my fans, she's a really amazing dress designer, which her clothing are in the showrooms in LA. Her name is Heather, is Ailing Earth. She made a dress for me, handmade, a beautiful dress for me. She drove all the way from Baltimore for 3 hours to give me the dress in Philly. And I saw the dress. I'm like, I'm wearing this tonight. So
you wore it that night?
Yeah, it was beautiful. It's wow. Red leather with chain. It's just like, I'm like, why are my fans so much nicer than me than my husband?
Well, that's, you know, your husband was maybe nice. You probably just didn't crack the code.
I think I was the wrong woman for him. That's all.
Mm, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't want to make him feel like a piece of shit because he is. I just want him to just like, you know, he would, a woman who don't want to work, want to go to spa every day and shop every day, would be happy with him.
Mm.
And who can't hear him? Like,
huh?
Like if she can't hear, that'll be better. She will stay forever. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens to the best of us and the worst of us.
Yeah.
I had a girl that I thought was going to be with for the rest of my life. And then she went and fucked an R&B singer.
What?
You know? Yeah.
Why?
Why?
I feel comedians are just so much cuter than singers.
I wasn't a comedian at the time. I was still DJing. So as a DJ, then there's rapper.
She's moving up.
And then singer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So she jumped rapper. I don't know. Maybe she jumped on a rapper. I don't know.
Are they still together?
No, they were never together. They were just doing the...
Fucking? It's very...
Well, he was black, so it was probably like...
I'll take the tequila. Well, I just feel like... if you were like the young Cypher, but not in a super successful comedian's body, like what would the young Cypher DJ, but actually he is... like young, but it's a career of Cypher right now.
Yeah.
When your girlfriend is fucking a R&B singer cheating on you, like what would you react differently?
I don't want to say she was cheating on me.
Okay.
We were separated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You were on a break.
Yeah, we were broken up. But many other times we've broken up but got back together, but that was the final straw.
Yeah, because
it's the final countdown, you know? So I wouldn't say she was cheating on me, but go ahead.
Yeah, so if you had your career and knowledge now, how would you react?
I wouldn't have been so upset about it.
Yeah.
These things happen.
Because, you know,
he's a great R&B singer.
Yeah, you know there's always going to be another pussy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I never had trouble getting pussy.
Yeah, like a...
But I would like, love. It was a nice girl. I like a nice girl attached to the book.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, that's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting right here, but it's pretty rare. Yeah. Well, I'm very curious because I really believe that Black culture and Asian culture kind of like a really similar
overlap.
When it comes to the overlap, when it comes to, you know, the moms, like... How's your mom? Is she tough? Is she kind of mom like always like kind and sweet but don't really be there for you? Or she's always like very mean but she'll do anything for you?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a great question. She's my mom is very sarcastic, very passive aggressive. But
that's my mom.
That's your mom, right? Passive aggressive, but I think my mom would be there for me no matter what.
She'll give it Kennedy. Like, she'll give her organ
yes,
for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I would give her mine.
Yeah.
Also, me and my mom are very close in age because she had me very young.
Same with my mom. How old was your mom?
My mom was... She just turned 16, like, a week before I was born.
Okay. So, my mom was 19. So
yeah. Oh, I mean, your mom was mad old in the Puerto Rican world.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom was mad old.
So your mom's like Rosario Dawson and Isabel. I know them very well. Mm-hmm. Isabel Dawson. Rosario Dawson?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So very similar age.
Yes, yes, yes. Me and Rosario Dawson was in a movie together. Mr. Name Dropper.
Yeah,
name
she dropped dropper. Names. And I feel like you guys, like the age was fun. We spent a few Christmas, I mean Thanksgiving together in
really?
LA. Yes. We should have Isabel.
You should invite me.
With us. Yeah.
Yeah, so like we're almost like brother and sister in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still my mom though, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was hot.
Mm-hmm.
So like I remember being a kid and guys would hit on my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that also probably like how to say, your mom is so pretty, like, so you just kind of like feel like you don't have any trouble getting. Dating pretty girls because you're so confident because your mom's so pretty. Huh? Was it like that? Because like some men, like even though they are handsome, successful, like they don't go after very attractive women because they just feel like those women are bad.
I'll tell you my problem. I have no problem. I've been with some of the finest women in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem being with them. I don't have initial game. I don't have the walk-up game. So how I've always met people is either friend of a friend or at work, something like that. But some of the baddest bitches. Ooh, sorry. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't say the C word.
Some of the baddest bitches.
Nice.
In the game.
That's nice.
But I don't know how to walk right up to them.
I need you to know though. I'm from a different culture. I need to know what is the walk up game.
You know, walk up to a girl at the bar, like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I don't have that.
What is the smooth one? Like, what was one of your friends that you think has the best walk-up game?
Oh, man, I got a lot. There's a guy named my boy David. He's one of these real stylish guys. He got, you know, he got the roll up the pants. He's always showing the ankle.
But he's not gay.
No, not gay at all.
So he's stylish and not gay.
He's what?
He has style, but he's
style,
not gay.
Yes. He'll wear one of those hats.
Ooh.
And I can't do it. I can't wear the hat. He'll, you know, one extra button open, shirt open. And he just, I don't know. Here's my thing. I always try to ask him, a lot of guys, what is the first thing you say? And they never know because they're not planning it. They just work off vibes and emotions in the moment. And I want to know what's the line. And they're like, I don't know. I just say what's up. Or comment on their shoes or see what they're doing, see what they're drinking. I don't have that. I don't have that swag.
It's like being a good comedian. You don't know what it is. It's in the moment.
I can do it on stage. I just can't do it to a girl. I can't do it. I mean, unless
why
I just...
Why can't you just transfer your skill on stage to the bar?
I think it's a different part of the brain.
I think so.
I could have just come off stage and she could have seen me on stage. And I don't have it. I don't know what to say.
I think the best way for you is like you are standing on stage and on a club, there's people sitting by the bar is right there watching you. And there's a hot bitch at the bar. You just like, you say something at the moment that she'll be like, meet me in the bathroom in 3 minutes.
And then, and what's going on in the bathroom?
You'll be getting a BJ because you just...
No, I can't do that in a club.
Well, how about it's like a casino?
I'm a gentleman.
Okay.
We gotta go out.
Also, there's no room at the center. It's tiny.
Sorry, I was just sick. I'm a gentleman.
Sorry I gave you COVID.
No, you didn't give me COVID. I was sick from the flu.
I told you like when I saw you last week, I told you I have a sore throat, remember? At the stand. I'm getting over it.
Yeah, I like your voice though. It's sexy like that.
I think so. It sounds like me if I don't give a fuck. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah.
I feel like me in my 40s.
In your?
40s. Like me in 10 years.
This is you in 10 years.
Like I give less fuck.
Right, right.
Yeah.
In 10 years, you'll be 40 or 49?
43.
Oh, 43.
But I think older is better because you give less fuck.
Yeah.
Also, I'm Asian. I'm not going to look different.
No, yeah. You'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go younger? You date younger?
No, I don't want to breastfeed them. I just feel like I'm not thinking about dating. I'm just kind of traumatized. I'm taking a year off from dating. But I want to date a man.
How far into the year are you?
Like 3 months? 4 months?
That's it?
4 months?
Ugh.
Yeah, but it's pretty good.
Nah, you got to get out there. You got to hump around.
I don't know. I don't like casual sex. I can't.
What do you want? Romantic? You want committed sex?
Yeah.
Every time?
I like a romance.
Every time?
I have to like be dating a guy for a while and then we have a lot of sex.
What about what about situationships?
I can't do it. I'm very traditional. I'm like, it's date number 5. We're going to have sex. And that's the dress I want. And we're going to get married. And we're going to have a business plan. We're going to build something together. I'm like really old fashioned. So I need to relearn everything. And, you know.
But a lot of things you say on the internet are not old fashioned.
Like what?
You just got a lot of jokes where you're making like modern day jokes.
Yes, yes. I also like, I don't give a fuck. So I really believe that you can do whatever the fuck you
want.
But
if you put out, you don't give a fuck. You're going to attract I don't give a fuck guys.
Nobody talks to me. No comedian hate on me.
Yeah, right. Shut up.
They just look at me. They think there's something wrong. They are right. But
they want to get on that.
I don't know. Nobody really hate on me.
They want to ride. They want to ride that train that you're.
I like to be on top, by the way.
You want to be on top?
Yeah.
You want to ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they want to pay that ticket. They're not saying it to you. You always got the leather outfits all tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what MILF, do you?
MILFy.
You know what MILF is?
Yeah. The Tiger MILF podcast. Our podcast is called Tiger MILF.
Yeah, but maybe you're not understanding what MILF, you know what the F is in MILF.
Mom, I like to fuck.
Yeah. So what do you think? This is what guys want.
I think I'm MILFy, but like I don't think I have comedians. I have guys hate on me.
Well, everyone's scared of the Me Too.
I think so.
Everyone's scared of the Me Too.
Yeah, I don't have like the culture is different now after Me Too movement. Guys don't. Godfrey was like, I was on his podcast last night. He's like, I don't even look at a woman when I talk to them.
Yeah,
I just don't. I'm like,
you can't make too much eye contact.
My boobs are here. He's like this. I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
No, you can't. You get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
What is a tiger mom? Is it? Came from tiger's mom?
Tiger mom is a word to describe Asian moms.
Is that Tiger Woods' mom was a tiger mom?
No, I think he was.
Has nothing to do with it.
An Asian mom is like very strict.
Very strict.
On their kids.
Yeah.
They measure their kids' value mainly based on their performance. And they have to be achieving, like, you had to be number one in school,
yeah,
in piano class. For Tiger was like playing golf, or
yeah,
like sports, anything. You had to be very good. Mom is super controlling about the kid's schedule. And you know, it's Tiger mom. Like,
oh, I thought the term emotion came from Tiger Woods' mom, because she was probably like that.
Yeah, she's definitely like that.
What, and why not lion moms? Because, you know, the female lion is the leader.
Lioness. Yeah, they are the leader. I think a lion mom sounds...
Tiger because it's more Asian? Tigers are more Asian?
Tiger is Asian and tiger mom just rhymes, I think. Sounds
and
like
then the tiger is the one that does this, right?
That's the cat, the Zhao Cai Mao, like in the restaurant, they have the cat.
Oh, that's not a tiger?
That's a cat asking for money, I mean, welcoming money.
Oh.
Yeah, Zhao Cai Mao is like the cat welcomes money.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese one.
Japanese
Zhao Cai Mao.
Oh, Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Gong Xi Fa Cai. Yeah, well, yeah. I hope you get rich. Can you believe the Chinese word people say? Like, I think it's amazing in America. Like, if some people dies and your friend tell you, like, if somebody close to you dies, your friend tell you, you know, may he rest in peace. I'm sorry for your loss. Right? In Chinese, we say 节哀顺变.
What's that?
Don't be sad and accept the change.
Don't be sad and accept the change.
Yeah.
Just right to it, huh?
Yeah.
It's harsh a little.
And like, if you get married, right? In America, what do you say to a newlywed?
Congratulations?
Yeah. Do you know what we say in Chinese?
What?
恭喜早生贵子.
What's that?
I hope you have a son soon.
Shit. Well, why does everybody always want sons?
I have no idea.
Because you need daughters too to have new sons.
Yeah, but like having a son, carrying the family name, carrying on the blood is like something so important for traditional thinking, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I was the last Diaz in my family. If I didn't have a son, my Diaz lineage would have died, but also, who cares? There's a lot of Diazes out there. It's fine.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very lucky. I have a daughter. She's 2.5. She looks just like me, and she has a lot of attitude. My son is a little happy, little camper. He's just like smiling, trying to be happy, be cute. My daughter, she's the trouble.
She's got trouble?
Yeah, she's going to be like, no, mom. My son will be like, mommy, you know, he'll worship me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck. It's rough.
Yeah, I'm scared of her.
Yeah, you should
because,
be.
You know, in America, you can't slap them. That's a problem.
What was that?
In America, you can't slap them.
You can't leave a mark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Taking notes.
You should look up police brutality in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
They found ways to beat prisoners and suspects without leaving marks. You should get a phone book.
I think you use needles to stab the inner thigh.
Yeah. Yeah. Needles. And then you should get a phone book. Get a phone book and you hit him in the belly. No marks. You know what a phone book is?
Yes.
They don't have them anymore. The thick yellow pages.
Does it hurt?
Yeah. That's the whole point.
I mean, it only hurt when they are pregnant, right? Like.
No. It's like a belly flop. Put that phone book against the belly. Yeah, so it leaves no marks. You can't slap them in the face in public.
I know.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want a public public
discrimination. But it doesn't work if you don't hit them in public.
Right, it's embarrassment. Half of it.
Yeah.
Half of the abuse is the embarrassment.
Embarrassment is very powerful. Like, I remember my dad would slap me in front of all my classmates.
Yeah.
In the hallway.
Your dad was at your school a lot?
And he's only there when he's drunk and he just wander in there and be like, look at me. He's like, why don't you have a penis, you know?
Oh, damn. Was there other dads doing that to other daughters?
Not too many.
Not
too many at school, but at home, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Why didn't you have a penis?
I mean, if I had a penis, I think I'll probably be running a company and I won't be funny. I'll be an abusive short little man who is a piece of shit. So.
Could you get one now?
No, I don't want one. My pussy is so good. Like, my pussy is magical. I was so scared to have babies But also, I don't want C-section. I don't want scars on my stomach. It's disgusting. And no, disgusting. If you had to have it, I'm not trying to shame your body, ladies. If you, just your body be able to having another children. I mean, yeah. A human being is just magical. I just don't want to give birth naturally because I don't want to ruin my vagina.
Yeah.
But the beauty is that it just snapped back.
Right back.
Yeah, like this. So like a phone book on the belly.
But and you your pussy is magical, but you don't want to give it. You don't want to share it.
Not yet. I need to share to somebody who's worthy of it.
All right.
So what's I need to ask something very important. What think about the young comedians, you know, they are watching and they would want to ask how do I do it? Like how can I start? And what's cipher? What is your rules of comedy?
Oh.
Your rules, but like,
don't follow me. Okay. So here's my thing. I don't have any connections. When I was younger, I didn't have any connections. My family wasn't in entertainment. I had no nepotism. I just had to find my way in. Now, this was with music and DJing, but it does apply. My thing is being funny, of course. Like, that's the normal stuff. Being funny, getting stage time, all that stuff. But what I notice a lot of young comedians and a lot of people trying to break into an industry don't do enough is the what I like to call the side work. So you want to make sure that you're known without being annoying, and you want to be willing to work and do things for people. Like, for example, I say the Comedy Cellar, which is my home club. Yes, I get booked a lot. I'm on stage a lot. That's being a good comedian that can hold my own at the Comedy Cellar amongst the greatest. But also, I'm loved because I help other people out. I am always on time. And I do extra stuff where if somebody's coming to town and, you know, someone famous and they want to get a spot, I make sure I'm there to meet them. I walk them in. I treat the Cellar like it's my home. And the same with the Stand. I go above and beyond. When Dave Chappelle comes to town and he performs at the Stand, I donate my DJ equipment for his DJ. Or sometimes I DJ. But sometimes he has
DJ Trauma.
DJ Trauma. I bring my equipment. I don't get paid for it. I don't get a spot on the show, but it will make the show run a lot smoother if I just bring my equipment. That makes them always have me on their mind. To when somebody's late or cancels, I get called a lot.
Because you know you're reliable.
I'm reliable.
And you are guaranteed laughter.
Will Smith told me, before the slap, Will Smith told me he performed at 3 different Super Bowls because somebody was not reliable and was not on time. And he got in there.
Yeah.
So that's a quality I look for. Now, there's a lot of comedians who are assholes that do fine. And that's their life. But this is my path. I always give back to the servers, to the people that work there. I'm always kind to the customers. I treat it like I own the place. If I was the owner, how would I want this place to be? If the hand towels in the bathroom are not filled up, I tell somebody, hey, the towels are not filled up, to make sure the customer experience is better. So stuff like that. It has nothing to do with being funny. It just has to do with being reliable, being on point, and showing that you care about the whole environment.
I grew up in a restaurant. My mom owns a restaurant. I started to work in the restaurant when I was very little.
Yeah.
And started cleaning dishes and waiting table and of course, you know, accounting. I'm so good at math. And working in the service industry is so helpful. And my mom always tell me that you, it doesn't matter where you go, where you are, your hand has to be fast. Fast hand is basically you see where it needs work and you go there and do it.
Yeah.
And have zero ego, be useful. People like useful people.
Be useful. That's great.
Be useful. Like, be like, if the car is not moving smoothly, you are the grease. Grease the parts. And yeah. If people, there's a dry pussy, you are the lube. You make sure it works. Like, just be useful. You have to be useful and also have no ego. Treat it like it's your own. That's what you said in Chinese culture. We say like, treat it as like it's yours. Then it will be yours because you have the love from the people because you are not there to take. You are there to make everybody... But it's life better. If you are there to make their life better, they cannot go back to being bad. They want you there because they want a better life.
100%.
That's what I heard the same about, like, what's his name? George Hamilton. George Hamilton, like the actor from Godfather. He played the lawyer.
George Hamilton?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
He's in the movie Godfather.
Okay.
He played the lawyer. He dated Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay.
He's a very handsome guy. He's older now.
The dark guy?
Dark
skin, like tan, always tan?
Blonde tan, always tan.
Yeah.
Blonde hair, always tan. He's like, do you know why I'm in all the Godfathers almost? They didn't have a role for me in the second one. But after the show, I play poker with people. I make jokes.
Yes.
I make people's life better. And it was just always laughing and happiness when he's around. And then he's not in the next one. You're like, where's George?
Yeah.
He's not in the movie. Put him in the movie, goddammit.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, being just, don't be a buzzkill. Just be useful. Be the lube. Like, be the grace. Just make things run around better. I really, there's a lot of Chinese wisdom and Puerto Rican wisdom.
I didn't know we were so similar.
Very similar. Like, just like, don't ask, how can I get this? You are going to have everything you want if you are right for it. Like, if you make people's life better.
Yeah.
Of being funny is the most important part, obviously.
Listen, if you want to know how to be funny, I swear to God, I watch every interview with like guys like Louis C.K. or Jerry Seinfeld. The way they talk about writing jokes, it's all out there.
Yeah.
Like, Jerry Seinfeld's method of like setting aside 2 hours every day for writing, no matter what. Now, you sit down, you go to write. If you don't write anything, that's fine, but you can't do anything else in that 2 hours. It's for writing jokes. You're going to find ways to write jokes. This is the other stuff.
This is the other stuff that's important.
I don't know if it's more important.
It's not more.
It's just how I operate because, first of all, I know I'm not the funniest guy.
I think being a good human makes your comedy more authentic. Because if you're a bad person, your comedy is like a bunch of lies.
I know that I go on stage and I do a lot of talking to the crowd. And never, one time, somebody complained about me in the 8 years I've been at the Comedy Cellar. One time. Every other time when I fuck with people, they don't feel offended because you can tell I'm coming from a place of humor, of love, even after the show. Or if I do something and I see maybe it was a little too much, I get them a round of drinks. Mm-hmm. And after the show, I go, hey, thanks for letting me mess with you. It was really funny for the show. It made everybody laugh, da 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 da. No one ever gets offended when I do it. I've seen other people do it and people really get offended and you could tell the type of person is doing it.
Yeah, and they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
Yeah, and I hate that.
I hate comedians. I don't understand this part at all.
Blaming audience for not laughing and attacking them.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
You hate what?
When they're not funny on stage and they start blaming the audience and attacking the audience. Those are fucking assholes.
That's
go
crazy.
Eat a dick. Get the fuck off my stage.
Yeah, it's not your night. It's okay. We all have those nights. I hate comics that say, oh, fuck the audience. It doesn't matter what they think. I'm like, wait. Then why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You go on stage to tell jokes to make them laugh. Without them, your job is pointless.
Exactly. The whole idea is us having a conversation, like communicate with the audience. That's the whole magic is that the kind of communication you are having with them.
Also, I've seen comedians that really have trouble with the audience, but they're very funny. I can't knock it. They're very extremely funny. But it's just, I have a different style. My style is more of giving and service.
I like to communicate with them. I always write new jokes for every new city I go to. I always write jokes about the city.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in. The first 10 minutes is me talking about that city.
And you write it beforehand?
In the green room.
Oh, because I try to, I do that too, but I do it of like what I experience during the day.
Yes, true. Like I would think about it from the airport, from the train, and then, I just think it's so important.
You people really don't know how to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I just, like when I was in Philadelphia, I was like, I'm probably the only Asian here in Philadelphia. Maybe you should call me Filipina.
That's so stupid.
But it's cute.
That is so dumb.
They love it.
That's so funny.
Because like, they're like, oh, Philadelphia. I'm like, you know, this is, you know, it's such an honor to be in a city of the brotherly love.
Eating vagina. You also got to eat vagina.
I've never ate a pussy before.
Not you. A comedian like me. Uh-huh. Like, if you're in a town, somebody's vagina is desperate for some eatage. You know what I mean? So you got to give, you have to provide that service. And a lot of guys are like, oh, I don't like to go down. Nah, you got to get down there. You got to get down there.
Yeah, it's about giving.
It's about?
Giving.
Giving.
Yeah, but like also like, I think guys don't take hint. Like, if you are not good at eating pussy, like when the girl tell you, you just have to adjust it. Don't keep going. Just like to change something.
Oh, you have to adjust.
Yeah, some people, they don't change. They just like, they think they're going to be good. You just keep like, I'm like, no.
You shove them like that?
I don't, no, I slap them. I don't.
Oh, something.
Yeah. I think it's like a really sound advice you're giving.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah, so be in it for the service. But that's what I do. I tell a lot of people what I do. I tell a lot of people what has worked for me and my philosophy. I never tell you, you have to do the way I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what people ask, what should I do? I go, I don't know what you should do. Here's what worked for me.
Yeah, I love that.
And sometimes it works for people. Sometimes people are not that style. And that's your business.
Yeah, I just, I'm just being a Chinese girl. I just believe in developing the craft. Like, 十年磨一剑 is
what?
Like, 十年磨一剑, like, the patience is gonna take you. Like, you are going to, it take you 10 years to sharpen the sword, for it to become as sharp as it can. And, 千里之行始于足下 is like, there's 1,000 miles of the road ahead of you to make it. But you just have to take the first step.
Mm.
And that's why I can't control a lot of things. I can't control me on TV, this show, that show, which club I can pass. But I can control, tonight, I'm taking this ass to a club and be on stage every day. I get myself on stage every day.
Yeah.
I write jokes every day. I post contents, create contents every day. I sit in my house posting on my TikTok, video, whatever. Yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's I can control. And I'm just working. I just keep working. And that's
hard,
the only thing I can do. I bought a club so I can be on stage. I've been hosting shows 10 hours a day. Every day, I've been doing that. And the people just like, oh, you know, you're so new. Yeah, but I've been doing more hours than you did in 20 years.
Yeah.
Because you quit next year, you come back this year. I'm on stage every single fucking day like a fucking communist. Like no,
it's crazy the way, when I look at your schedule, it's good. This is Cypher Sounds, the comedian turning off because we were being funny. Haha, eat pussy, that's funny. Turn that off. This is the Luis Diaz. Original person turning on. You work the hardest. Your schedule is, I get jealous every time you post a flyer. I get jealous of how much content you put up. And it's really amazing how you took the words. Who'd you say helped, gave you?
John Singleton.
John Singleton. You took John Singleton's advice and beat it to death. And you do a great job of like, just getting on podcasts, creating your own podcast, buying your own club. I wanted to do your club when I was in LA, but it got messed up. I hope to. You still have it?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it next time.
Whenever you want. You just walk in there. You are always next. And then you go back to the green room and you walk back, you are next, and then we can go have some oysters. There's oysters. It's in Larchmont. It's in like Hancock Park. It's very fancy.
Yeah.
We can have some oysters.
No, but I love the way you do it. I'm very jealous. And I follow you in a way that I
think
admire
when I met you, I probably had like 100,000 followers. On Instagram? 310?
Shit. How?
On Instagram.
How do you do it?
You
gotta tell me how to do it.
I told Godfrey about the club promoting. So I feel like the moment Instagram Reel happened. Remember the Reel happened. And I know how to do Reel. Because I know how I was never big on Instagram. Because before Reel, the Instagram is like for fucking models.
Just for pictures.
Posting
their
fucking pictures and Photoshop and make everything look so fucking anal.
Yeah.
But there's rules. You can't post there's a time or day you can post. There's like, you can't post too much because it's gonna whatever. But TikTok, I post 5 videos a day when I had a 0 follower on TikTok.
Yeah.
Until I found out which contents are blowing up. Mm. I'm working on that. And I post my jokes. And whatever my joke go to 1 million views, I'll rewrite that joke and develop it into like a bit. So I test out my materials on TikTok.
Yeah.
I would write 10 jokes. I post 10 videos of me telling that different jokes. And the one works, I realize now, is always about…
On stage or just talking to the camera?
I talk to the camera first. That's why I feel like… being a TikTok star helps me to find my voice faster.
Ooh.
I didn't work less. If there's no TikTok, it probably taken me 6 more years, 7 more years going to bars and try to find out my voice.
Yeah.
But on TikTok, if there's 10 jokes, me talking about me dating a guy or being a Chinese girl, the beauty standard, having a Chinese mom, being a new mom, which topic is just like there's 10 million people watching that video.
Yeah.
It's relating. It's about relating.
Right.
So I just developed my joke about grew up in China and compare my experience here with USA. That's what the people want to hear. And that's what I can tell them the best because that's my life.
Yeah.
So I found my voice is just me being me, talking about me. And that helped me so much. I feel like if I don't have TikTok, it would take me 7 more years going to shitty bars, trying to do it on the open mic and find out what's getting more laughter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why social media is helpful. But I was pregnant with my daughter. I was throwing up in the bathroom while posting a video because I was posting 4 videos a day. I make them on TikTok. Because I don't have a career. I'm not you. You are a comedian that's in the best clubs. I was a nobody.
You have more clubs than me, though. What are you talking about?
I mean, I was now. 3 years ago. Yeah, I just I had to have a big following, so the club can respect me.
Mm.
And also, I don't post anything other than comedy. I don't do like dancing. I don't do makeup stuff. I am just telling jokes.
Yeah.
It's all my stand up. So I felt like social media is a test ground for me to find my voice or what is relating with the audience. I think that helped me so much. And with Instagram, you just fucking post your contents.
I don't know how to ask this. Would it be weird if I started posting content in your voice?
No.
You don't think I'll get in trouble for that?
No. You're my friend.
No. I'm saying literally impersonate you.
That's hilarious.
With your accent?
Yeah.
I think I would get canceled.
Fuck cancel culture is stupid.
Okay.
Also, by the way, guys, this accent is fake. Don't tell them.
Don't tell them it's fake? You have a different Chinese accent? What's your real Chinese accent?
I don't know. People are like, can't tell me like Jiaoying Summers with a fake ass accent. I'm like, oh God, I wish I don't have one. Like, I don't care, but I like my accent, but like... Also, like with Instagram, I think you have amazing contents from the seller, from your stand up to your communicating with the audience. You should put them up.
I do.
More.
Well, I've been busy lately. I haven't had a chance to.
You should have people do it for you.
I feel like they don't get the joke sometimes. They cut the wrong part.
No, you tell them which joke. And yeah. they do timestamp and they get a cut and you review it and you can fix a little bit on your phone. I always do that because they roughly they know what I want, but like it's always like off. So I always tweak it a little bit on my phone to cut it. And then I'll post it on Instagram. Then I'll have my staff to post it everywhere else with the one I fixed. So I know like I also have a comedian working for me. So they have
comedian brain.
You have the comedian smart brain, man. And who watch my set, who knows what it is.
Smart.
You should do collaboration tapes, clips with this club.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. So, for example, like, where's your next tour?
I'm going to Alabama tomorrow.
Alabama, like North for Carolina. Example, you are going to post a collaboration clip with the club in Alabama. The thing about it is that the algorithm is gonna. Whoever following the club, if they are your fan, they're going to for sure buy a ticket because they already go to that club. And they're going to bring their friends.
Yeah.
So people who love you in there, they're going to post. So it's like talking the location and the audience is just so important.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why always club is the club. And they like it because we have video over like 2 million views. The clubs get followers from me.
2 million views.
Yeah, the club got followers from me. Like they got like a lot of followers from me and it's good to bring them like followers.
Have you ever been on a podcast and just started getting more depressed as it went on?
Is it happening to you?
Like I'm getting so depressed that I don't want to, you're not a MILF anymore.
I am a MILF.
You're a MILF. But right now I don't want to F you because I'm getting sad.
Why, baby?
Because I'm getting depressed because you're better at this than me.
I'm just good
you're
at
a tiger,
media.
Tiger, mom. I got depressed from listening to you're a tiger McGilvest.
Cypher, I'm gonna help you to do some collaboration for your tour dates.
Nah, listen, man. I like what you do.
Your content's amazing.
I appreciate
you have
that.
Endless. You can post for 2 more years without not making any new ones.
I have a lot of stuff that I haven't put up yet. Yeah, but thing with me is like, of course I want to blow up.
You are Cypher Sound. What
I know,
talking
but
about?
I my goal is my DJ fans didn't 100% straight up follow me into comedy. So for the last year, that's been my goal. It's to show my fans of hip hop that I do this now. And it's working a lot.
Yeah.
But now everybody posts clips. Like,
it's a clip culture now.
It's clip culture. This is a clip.
A clip is a new clip.
This is a clip. Ready? That's your dad. And then just a bunch of dates. That's it. That's the clip.
Yeah.
That's your dad?
Yeah.
That's not funny.
It's not.
Maybe it was funny in the moment, but there's no funny parts online. My problem is it still has to be funny.
I hate unfunny
quality.
Stuff. I hate unfunny stuff.
Yeah, it's dumb.
All my stuff, I will make sure like it's entertaining.
Yeah.
You have to make people laugh.
Yeah, it has to be somewhat. But you know, we're fine.
You are amazing. What are you talking about? You are so fucking great. I will always be so grateful for you because you are like the very few like a legendary comedian who believed in me in a very early stage in New York.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't.
Caroline's on Broadway, the Stand, New York Comedy Club, and you would be like literally the people who really see what's in me.
I put you on Caroline's on Broadway?
Oh, yeah. I'm a regular there and I've been setting out a lot of shows there.
But did I put you up there?
You didn't put me there, but like you put me on your show at the Cellar.
The Cellar, yeah. Oh, I thought I put you, yeah. Yeah, what do you mean? We're all here to help each other.
Yeah,
that's exactly. The thing I don't like about comedy. It's a lot of people that are just self-driven.
Yeah, also like competitiveness.
Fine.
We're all different.
But you could be competitive on the same team.
Yeah.
I'm all for helping people. Oh, you just showed a little skin. I got a little. I'm back to wanting to F you. We could be competitive and be on the same team, help each other. There's so many spots.
Yeah.
There's so many clubs, so many bookings, so many spots. As comedy grows, we're all going to live. I can't stand people that try to. They're in Cincinnati, but they want to block you from a club in Miami. Like, What are you talking about? You can't be here tonight. You're there.
Yeah.
So suggest me for here, and I'll do the same.
Yeah.
Anytime people ask for help, I help. I put people on at the cellar who are not at the cellar yet, so that they could get a tape and show. You know, that helps them get other things. Cellar's a big endorsement.
It's huge.
You know,
it's huge endorsement.
And I don't put people up that I don't think can handle it. But it's a little. Here's a little gift. Here's a little gift back. We share. We work with each other. We work on things. It's stupid if you don't help each other.
It is stupid. I love to help people. Yeah. I my club, I always like give people spots and make sure I'm doing a lot of shows like all Asian line up, all Black line up, like LGBTQ line up. Just there's so many talented comedians.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you can't sell the all white show. I mean, I'm like, yeah, you can't sell that. But like all Black show, all Asian show, you can't because all white show is everywhere.
I love all white shows.
I love to have all white men and a Black woman hosting it, abusing everybody, like roasting everybody. That'll be funny.
Sorry. COVID.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Did we have fun?
I'm sorry I give you COVID. Yeah, but it's worth it. I had so much fun. It was a conversation that you kind of like stripped me naked because like I was very honest and open with you.
Yeah, I try.
I was very vulnerable.
I don't want that. I want fun.
Yeah, but like, I'm very vulnerable in a way that helps me.
I like your interview
to love
Bobby,
myself more
with Bobby Lee.
It's so funny, right?
So good.
It's hilarious. Bobby is a cutie pie. Love Bobby.
Did he get naked?
No, he was eating a huge sandwich.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, he's like, sorry. Where can we find you?
Man, listen. Instagram. The problem with me is my name. You probably have a lot of similar issues.
Yeah.
Because your name is hard to...
pronounce?
Not hard to pronounce once you
right.
know it.
Spell it.
Spell.
Yeah, J.
Because you got a J-I,
yeah.
but you pronounce it...
Jiao.
Jiao. To an yeah. American, that sounds like a J-A.
Yeah.
Or J-O. Or yeah. J-O-U. Or J-A-U.
J-O-W.
You put that I is throwing everybody off.
Yeah.
But anyway, Cypher is a weird name also. So it's C-I-P-H-A and then the word sounds, Cypher sounds. Once you know it, it's easy.
Yeah.
But getting to know it is hard.
Yeah. But so, I know it.
Yeah, you know.
And I love it. We all know it.
It's fine. Yeah, but my Instagram has all my info. You know, I'm just out here just trying to make it. Just trying to get it
you
right.
You made it. What are you talking about?
Trying to make it more.
He was just like from Mr. Name Dropping.
Oh, I'm Mr. Name Dropper.
Trying to be
Jay-Z
like
told me never to name drop. Name Dropper?
I had so much fun.
What did you just do?
I just like
stretching. Oh, you're stretching? I thought you were giving like a signal. Like
No, I'm not giving any Viacom signal. Thank you.
You're like...
Yeah. Well... Thank you for watching. I'm touring all over America on June. I'm in Texas, June 14 to June 18, and then North Carolina, June 21, 22, 23. And then I'm in Florida, everywhere. Just JoeyinSummers.com. I'm coming all over America. Get your tickets now. Bring everybody you know. Thank you.
Oh, I'm touring. I'm going on the Bert Kreischer tour, Fully Loaded.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, so that's a big one. So
that's amazing.
So all you crazy white people, catch me there.
That's amazing. I'm
white
so excited.
White people watch us?
I have all of
you
them.
White, you got white people
watching? White people, Black people, Asians.
All the people.
Yeah, all of the people. The people's podcast.
Oh, that sounds very close to communism.
The People's Republic of Podcasting.
I have to go now.
You can't leave. 过来，别让他走。